ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavad Gita is timeless knowledge. What does that mean? Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago at Kurukshetra. And in fact, he spoke this even much prior to that. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam vivasvandanave prahur manur ikshvakave bravit. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states that he spoke this knowledge long, long ago to Vivasvan, the sun god. And in this way, the knowledge Vivasvan spoke to Manu and Manu to Ikshvaku, and in this way, Evang Parampara Praptamimang Raja Shio Viduhu. This knowledge was passed down to the parampara of saintly kings. So this knowledge has been extant in human society and even higher than human society, practically since time immemorial. And it's the same knowledge. It's the same knowledge which Krishna spoke millions of years ago. It's the same knowledge which we are speaking today. Now that is different to the kind of knowledge which we call material knowledge. In the modern age, there is much stress given on science. Just like all these little boys are running around. And, yeah. They have to study in school. They won't be taught Bhagavad Gita. They will be taught about science. Now, who are the greatest figures in science in history? I think if we say two names, we have to say Newton and Einstein. Now, if we want to study science today, we won't study Newton directly. Because whatever theorems Newton gave have been modified. For some centuries it was thought that Newton, whatever he said, was completely perfect. But toward the end of the 19th century, it was discovered that Newton's theorems don't fit in all circumstances. And even Einstein, not everything that he said is accepted by in what is now considered modern science. So there's an idea in science that there are great persons who discover different theorems. Then other people come and they look at those theorems and maybe modify them. And in this way, they become more and more close to understanding what the actual fact is. So that we can know that what we study at school in science, your children won't be studying exactly the same thing. Because more studies will come. And whatever theories are accepted today will be modified in future. In fact, whatever your children learn in school today, that's already out of date. Because whatever the scientists discover or think is now correct, that takes time for that to be integrated in the school curriculums. So whatever's being taught in the school in science is always out of date. And there will never come a point in science in which they can say, okay, now we understood everything, finished, nothing more to say. Because human intelligence is limited. And because it is the nature of Maya, the illusory energy of Krishna, that we cannot understand everything properly. So this is not timeless knowledge. When I was at school, about, that would be 45 years ago, in the biology class, they taught us that cells, I'm talking about the cells in the body, they're very simple organisms. And soon scientists will be able to reproduce them, make them from chemicals. So I wrote in my biology test that cells are very simple organisms, and soon the scientists will be able to reproduce them in the laboratory, and I passed the test.
Mm-hmm.
If your children today write that in the biology test, they'll fail. Because scientists discovered by more research that actually cells are extremely complex. Even the most simple cell is so complex that the scientists can't even properly understand it, what to speak of reproduce it. So what I learned at school was incorrect. After I left school, I understood that what I'd studied was incorrect. I learned that a few years after leaving school. But then even some more years later, I discovered that even when I was studying that at school, the scientists already knew it wasn't true. So they knew it wasn't true, but still they taught that to us because they hadn't yet had time to update the curriculum. So this is not knowledge. This is not education. This is cheating. Pretending to give knowledge but giving people misinformation. So you can be sure that whatever your children are being taught in school now, that will not be accepted as knowledge after a few years. And you can be sure that what Krishna spoke 5,000 years ago is true today and will be true in 5,000 more years also. What Krishna speaks is perfect knowledge. There's nothing more to discover. Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Jnanam teham savijnanam idam bhakshami yaseshataha yajjyatva neha bhuyo nyajjyatavyama vishishyate. Krishna says, I will now speak to you all knowledge and science. Giving an overview of all knowledge. By knowing which you will not have to know anything else. Now, Bhagavad Gita is only 700 shlokas. And Krishna says, if you know this, you don't need to know anything else. So does that mean that if you study Bhagavad Gita, automatically you become an expert in physics, biology, engineering, and all these subjects? No, but you don't need to. You don't need to know that. Now, we're not saying that all mundane education should stop. But we should know that what we learn in mundane education, that will only be useful for us in this lifetime. Even in this lifetime, most of what we learn in school is not very useful. We can, those of us who are not, who have finished our education, we can think back on all the things we learned at school and how much we remember today and how much it's useful to us. I can personally say that most of the things I learned at school are of no relevance to anything in my life today. We studied chemistry, then what does it matter what the entropy or the enthalpy of something? It doesn't matter unless you're specializing in chemistry. Do you remember these words from when you were studying chemistry? The entropy has to do with the ions within the molecules. How do you translate that into Tamil? Yeah, okay. Anyway, they probably all studied chemistry, many of them, but it doesn't matter to you. It's all going on all around us. All the different ions and chemical reactions, but we don't need to know it. But we do need to know what Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita. Because that is absolutely relevant to our life. We may say no, we may object. Arjuna was in a dilemma whether to fight or not. I'm not in that dilemma, so what do I need Bhagavad Gita for? But we should know that Krishna speaks knowledge of the soul. What is Krishna's first instruction in Bhagavad Gita? Dehino smnyatha dehe kaumarang yovanang jara tatha dehantara praptir dhiras tatunamuhyati. That we are in a body. But we are not the body. The body changes from childhood, just like little boy like this. Then to youth, a little bit older. When they become a little bit older, it's called youth. Yovanam. Then becomes an old body, just like this is an old body. And then the next thing is the dead body. We don't have any dead bodies here to show. But Although the body is changing, Krishna says, the person within the body stays the same. That is called the Atma. A sober person is not disturbed by all these changes. Just like this elderly gentleman is sitting here. He can remember when he was a young boy jumping around like this. That body is gone. But he is the same person. That means that what is the steady factor? That is the Atma. So this knowledge is relevant in the past, in the present, and in the future. Therefore, it is timeless knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also teaches us Janma Mrityu Jaravyadhi Dukkha Doshanu Darshanam. Real knowledge means to see that this world is miserable, there is birth, death, old age, and disease. So that is, this is timeless knowledge. The material world is always miserable. Whatever efforts we make to try to make it a better place, still it is always miserable. Just like recently, there's the demonetization of large banknotes in India. And the idea is to improve the condition of the country by stopping corruption. So it is a debatable point whether it has or will improve the condition of the country. But one thing is for sure, it's not going to stop birth, death, old age, and disease. You can bring 500 crores of white money or black money, you can't bribe anyone to stop death. And even if you are very rich, in this part of India, the famous rich family is that coming from T.V. Sundaram. And the richest man in India is Mukesh Ambani. But Mukesh Ambani, for all the money he's got, he can employ any doctor, he can buy any medicine, but he can't even stop getting a common cold.
Mukesh Ambani,
Everyone gets a cold, right? Maybe here in this area, not so much as in UP, because it gets the weather there is very cold now in UP. In this season in Uttar Pradesh, no one can imagine using fans. A few months ago, I was staying in Himachal Pradesh. And in many of the houses, they don't have fans, because even in the summer, it never gets very hot. But still, even though the climate here is very warm, still people get colds. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't stop it. So this, even a common cold, it's not anything very serious. It comes and in a few days it's finished. But it's miserable. Is it not? When you have a cold, it's just miserable. So everyone has to suffer. Is there anyone here over the age of 15 who has not had a toothache? Anyone? Toothache is horrible, very miserable. You can't even sleep at night. But this is miserable. What to speak? We have to die. Then we may enter the body of a worm or a dog or a tree or a fish. So this knowledge Krishna Bhagavan gives us in Bhagavad Gita. This is timeless knowledge. It's always a fact of the material world. And whatever other knowledge we may have, whether we're an engineer or a shopkeeper or whatever, that is not timeless knowledge. So we require the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So that we can get free from this miserable cycle of birth and death. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you know this knowledge, you know everything. What does that mean? That means we can understand everything. Just like, there's so many miseries in the world, we can understand why. We can understand why there are so many miseries. Just like recently there was a cyclonic storm or cyclone in which affected Chennai. People in South Tamil Nadu don't care very much if Chennai is affected by a storm. But in that area there was so much suffering. So much disturbance. So much damage. So much loss of income. Why do such things happen? Can anyone say? The scientists may say, well, there was a low front, heavy depression in the Bay of Bengal, and therefore it happened. Well, that's one way of saying why it happened. But it doesn't answer the question of why is there suffering? We can explain scientifically, there's a low trough and the storm comes, but that doesn't explain why there is suffering. Half of one verse of Bhagavad Gita summarizes the whole situation. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. We, in this world, we get happiness and distress. We make it ourselves. Man is the architect of his own destiny. It's an English saying. We get what we deserve. Just like in science, we learn for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So that is true on the karmic level also. You may say, well, the people, they were living very well, they were living good lives, they didn't do any harm to others. But this, as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, the cycle of karma is very complex. We may be getting the reaction to something we did in a previous life or even several lives previously. Another consideration is that what we call normal life today for most people is actually sinful. I'm particularly referring to meat eating. Meat eating, as it is conducted mostly in the world today, is sinful. Because by killing the animals, it causes them pain. Yeah. Most people don't think. They just eat meat, but they don't think some animal has been killed, has been caused great pain. So if we cause pain, then we have to suffer pain. That is the law of nature. We may wonder, why is there so much disturbance in human society at the present time? This terrorism is spreading all over the world. So that anyone, anywhere, any place, anytime, there can be some terrorist attack. In Coimbatore, how many years ago was that? About 15 years ago, there was a major terrorist attack with, I think, more than 100 people killed. Bangalore used to be a very peaceful, civilized, cultured city. Now it's in the news for mistreatment of women. So the world is getting worse and worse and worse all the time. Why? We can understand why from Bhagavad Gita. Because people are being educated to act for sense gratification. And sense gratification, sinful activities are being promoted. Meat eating, wine drinking, taking tobacco, these are all sinful activities. Via the cinema, they're promoting illicit sex, and on the TV also. So there must be a reaction, karmic reaction, that is coming in the form of terrorism. Cyclones, tsunamis, lack of rain, and even just in everyone's day-to-day life, people feel very discontented. A father cannot trust his son, a son cannot trust his father. There's no happiness. Bhagavad Gita teaches us the timeless knowledge of how to be fully happy. How to achieve peace. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives us the peace formula. Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam yatva mam shantim richati. There are three conditions to attain peace. It's come in, is it, from the, what is this, TV or what is that? Yeah. Okay. All right. You can sit and listen. What I'm speaking is good for you also. I'm speaking knowledge which is good for you. You should sit and listen. Do you feel complete peace in your life? No, I know you don't. No one feels full peace in their life. Okay, here is the peace formula from Bhagavad Gita. By which everyone can get peace, even in this disturbed world. There are three things we have to understand. Do you know what they are? No, you don't. So listen carefully. All right, first thing. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of everything. Now, everything we do in our life, we do to try to get happiness, is it not? Why is our friend here coming, making the shooting for the local TV channel? He's not interested, so why is he coming? It's a job for him. He requires to earn money to support his family. And by living in his family, he expects to be happy. So everything we do for happiness. But remember what we were just discussing from Bhagavad Gita. This world is a place of misery. So however happily we may live in our family, we have to suffer birth, death, old age and disease. We don't only suffer from our own birth and death, but when our family members die or a family member becomes sick, we also suffer. We also feel disturbed. But we should understand that all activities should be performed for the pleasure of Krishna. My life is meant for Krishna's service. That doesn't mean that we stop acting as a responsible family man. But we live in family life so that all the family members can come together and glorify Krishna. We perform our worldly duties in relationship to Krishna. And remembering Krishna. Just like Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna didn't want to fight. Krishna told him, Mama na smara yudhyacha. You fight, you think of me,
also.
So if we stop trying to act for our own pleasure and act for Krishna's pleasure, then we shall be happy. Why should we act for Krishna's pleasure? That brings us to the second point. Krishna is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna is the controller of all the universe. He is the Supreme Lord. We are subordinate to Him. We are meant for serving Him. We cannot be happy without serving Him. That is our function, to serve Him. Just like the finger is part of the body. The finger has to act in relation to the body. If the finger is cut off from the body, it has no more function to serve. So in the same way, we are meant to be connected to Krishna. If we serve Krishna, then we act in our proper function. And we become happy. And when we understand that Krishna is the controller of everything, then we know that we can't defy Him. However much we try to improve this world, ultimately everything is in His hands. So the third point to understand, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. Krishna is the best friend of every living being. Krishna is our best friend. He is protecting us. We don't have to worry. We can be confident that if we take shelter in Krishna, Krishna will bring us to the spiritual world, to Vaikuntha. Krishna is my best friend. He's not only my best friend, but He's the best friend of all living beings. So I shouldn't mistreat any living being. So we can understand how this timeless knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will help us in the best way. It is not some sectarian religious cult. Bhagavad Gita is actual knowledge. It is knowledge that we should all understand. So as to live this rare human life in the best possible way. So So that we can live this life in such a way that we don't have to get born again. So that after leaving this body, we can go to Krishna in the spiritual world. So this is a very brief overview of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. Which I have learned at the lotus feet of my Sri Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. Who mercifully went all over the world and taught Bhagavad Gita knowledge. The essence of which is to glorify Krishna. Satatam kirtayanto mam. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Mahatmas, they always glorify Krishna. So the essence of Bhagavad Gita knowledge that Srila Prabhupada gave is the chanting of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chanting this Maha Mantra is the Yuga Dharma taught by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this knowledge is for everyone. It's not meant only for Hindus. We shouldn't think that Bhagavad Gita is a Hindu scripture. It is knowledge. It is meant for everyone. So two, just like 2 + 2 = 4 is true for Hindus, Muslims, Christians, atheists, everyone. What Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita is knowledge. It's true for everyone. People may accept it or not accept it, but it is a fact that we are born again and again and suffer in this material world again and again and again until we take full shelter of Krishna. So this knowledge is now being spread all over the world. And many thoughtful people are accepting it. Because it is knowledge, it's not some meaningless religious sentiment. People who are highly educated, if you tell them you just have to believe something on blind faith, they won't accept it. But this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is, presented by Srila Prabhupada, is being accepted as transcendental scientific knowledge. But actually, although this knowledge is true, it's true in Tamil Nadu, it's true in the United States of America, it's true at the North Pole, it's true everywhere.
In the
But actually, this country is the country where the culture of Bhagavad Gita has been practiced since time immemorial. Particularly this area, there's so much in the culture. There is the Vaishnava culture. The Nava Tirupatis are there. So many great ancient Vaishnava temples. This knowledge was previously part of your culture, just like today watching cricket is part of your culture. It was central to your culture. So which is better, the culture of living in Krishna consciousness, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, or watching cricket, or playing cricket? Cricket cannot help you at all. Even physically, it's not very good exercise. It disproportionately bowling or batting disproportionately exercises one side of the body. But even if it was good exercise, it won't help you at the time of death. Whereas this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita will carry us beyond birth and death. So this knowledge is for everyone. But especially this knowledge is meant for you. You should take it very seriously. Practice it in your life. Teach it to your children. Live happily in this life in the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And then when you leave this body, you will go to Krishna. This is the perfection of knowledge. Hare Krishna. Is there any question, please? Speak in the mic. Mic. Speak in the mic. Announce the books now and then questions can come because people will start to leave. Okay.
was thinking about cosmic creation, so he wants to know which activity do you do and what is the reaction response for the list of things.
It's very complex how karma works. Karmana vyapi bodhavyam, bodhavyam chavikarmana, akarmanas chabodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, it's very difficult to understand the intricacies of karma. Of vikarma. And akarma. Karma in this sense means good activity. Vikarma means bad activity, sin, punya and papa. And akarma means non-activity. The basic principle is there. If you do something good, you get a good reaction. You see, at every moment we're doing something. And for everything there's a reaction. Even if accidentally we step on an ant and kill it, there is some reaction. So exactly everything, we can't explain that. But if we surrender to Krishna, we become free from all sinful reactions. Krishna says, Sarva dhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tva sarva papebhyo mokshayishami ma shucha. Krishna says, giving up all other ideas of dharma, if you just surrender to me, I will free you from all sinful reaction. Don't worry. To understand this in more detail than I have time to speak on now, you must read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. We have it. Tell them about the book table, is there? Tell them the book table is there. We have so many books. He has to speak in the mic. Yeah. Eventually it will rain. The lack of rain is a reaction to sinful activities. The government should stop all the slaughterhouses. And engage everyone in Harinam Sankirtan Yajna. Then there will be rain. Will the government do that? Will the government organize like that? No, the government will take money from the temples and use it for opening slaughterhouses. So what can you expect? Just to speak in the mic. Why is it like that, that we only think of God while we suffer? Because we're rascals. Therefore, we should thank God when He gives us suffering. Because if we remember God, then we'll go to God. And if we think, I am happy and then I don't need God, then we'll perform sinful activities. Then in the next life we'll suffer. Then we remember God. So then in the next life we get a good situation. Then again we forget God. So it goes on like this. So you should associate with genuine sadhus. Genuine sadhu will teach you the truth of Bhagavad Gita. These sadhus who just give you some ashirvad, but they don't give you spiritual knowledge, they're all just cheaters, that's all. One more important thing I have to say. Every human should be initiated by a bona fide guru. And the guru gives instruction to the disciple. The guru instructs that every day you have to chant the names of God. You have to study the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. So we have to accept the path given by a guru. And this way, even if we're feeling happy or even if we're feeling sad, every day we will do our sadhana. And this way, we will think of God in all situations, in all circumstances. Did everyone hear the question? You repeat it. If the snake comes inside our home, we kill it.
But told that even if you kill an ant, it is a sin.
Even if you kill an ant, there's a sin. Well, that's why when I was asked, about all the different things. What you do, is there a reaction? I didn't want to say because it's very complicated. Generally, we shouldn't kill any being. But if a snake threatens to bite our family members, then we just can't sit and watch. We may have to kill. But still, the killing is there. Still, the fact that you've killed a snake is there. Still, the fact of killing the snake is there. So to do something good, sometimes you have to do something bad. Therefore, that saying is there, it's probably in Tamil also, you have to choose between the best of two evils. Therefore, Krishna tells us, Maam ekam sharanam raja ahang tvang sarva papebhyo moksha yasham. You surrender to me, I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Because in this world, we cannot avoid doing something wrong. Yeah, we have more questions from the ladies. Please give the mic to this lady here. That we get the answer from Bhagavad Gita also. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Kama istaista hrita jnana prapadyantena devataha. People who, out of material desire, they worship different demigods, they do so because then they don't have proper knowledge. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yanti Deva Vrata Devan. Those who worship demigods go to demigods. Madhyajin Opi Yanti Mam. Those who worship me, come to me. So if you go to demigods, you have to take birth again, because the demigods also have to take birth again. But if you worship Krishna, you go to Krishna, you get out of the cycle of birth and death. If you worship Krishna, you go to Krishna, you get free from the cycle of birth and death. Everything is explained in this Bhagavad Gita. Now, Ved Narayan, you should introduce, or local devotees should introduce, what is the ongoing program? Yeah, say, did you hear it? Say it in Tamil. Why has God created us, and what was the rest of it? Yeah, well, that's already answered. Were you sitting throughout the whole lecture? Did you just come? You just came. Well, you missed. Huh? Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. We make our own happiness and distress in this material world. We don't have to suffer here. We create our own suffering. We can get free from it by surrendering to Krishna. Already discussed in the lecture. What can I do? I'm not going to give the whole lecture. If you come halfway through, what can I say? Translate that. Translate. God gives us a little independence. If we misuse it, that is our fault. If we are totally controlled like robots, then we're not living beings. Then we're just machines. You missed the lecture. These things are discussed. We're not the body, we're spirit soul. These things have been discussed already in the lecture. Say it again in the mic in Tamil. Yeah, rebirth is a fact. Where we are reborn is not under our control. Karmana daiva netrena jantur deho papattaye. According to our karma, under the supervision of the Supreme Lord, we get body after body. Is there prasad for everyone? So announce, because everyone's leaving without taking prasadam.